Acts chapter 1. Now, the book of Acts was written by Luke, and Luke was the man who God inspired to write the Gospel of Luke as well. So he wrote about the things that Jesus did in his lifetime and then his death. And now he's continuing to talk about what Jesus continued to do after he'd risen from the dead and ascended to heaven. And he starts off, "Dear Theophilus," and you wonder who this Theophilus was. Now, Theophilus means lover of God. So maybe he was writing this to try to persuade this man to believe in Jesus. So Luke says, "In the first volume, I wrote about all the things that Jesus began to do and teach, from the time that he began his ministry until the day that he was taken up from us into heaven." So the gospel record of Luke is what Jesus began to do and teach. And it doesn't mean that because Jesus isn't here on earth, he's not active. He continues to do and to teach. Before he was taken up, he instructed by the power of the Holy Spirit the men whom he had chosen to be apostles. For 40 days he appeared to them after his death, and in various ways and at various times he gave evidence that he was alive. They saw him. He spoke with them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. And that's the very same things that the apostles went out and preached, and it's what we preach. When they had come together, he had commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but instead wait for the gift of my Father, which was promised. John indeed baptized with water, but soon you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles met together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" So the hope of the kingdom of God coming on the earth is the hope of the kingdom being re-established. That is, established again, because the kingdom of God existed in the Old Testament when God was king over Israel, and the kings like David and Solomon sat on God's throne, as it were, ruling for God. And so that kingdom was finished. In Ezekiel 21, we read, God says, "I will overturn it, and it will be no more, until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him." And that person is Jesus. So when Jesus comes back, the kingdom of God will be established again. It will be literally here on the earth like it was before. But then Jesus said to them, "The times and the seasons are not for you to know. They are in the Father's own power." So we can never work out exactly when Jesus is going to come back. So all these people who say, "Ah, yeah, Jesus is coming, and such a date and year," this isn't right. But when the Holy Spirit is given to you, you will receive power so that you can be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So I think he's saying, don't try and work out a date. Instead, go and take the gospel to the ends of the earth, because that is going to be what brings about the coming of Jesus. Because he says in another place, when the gospel has gone into all the world, then the end will come. And so the fact that we are sitting here in countries like Latvia, Australia, the United Kingdom, Ukraine, Italy, or wherever, the gospel has gone into all the world, and we've got to keep on taking it, because that is what will control the exact time when Jesus comes back. When he had said this, he ascended up to heaven as they were watching him, and he was hidden from their sight by a cloud. As they stood there, watching intently and looking into the sky, two men dressed in white stood beside them very suddenly. Now, who were those two men dressed in white? That's right, two angels. And they said, "You men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the like manner that you saw him go into heaven." So one day Jesus will literally return to the earth, just as literally as he ascended. This same Jesus, the Jesus who loved little children, the Jesus who was angry with hypocrites, the Jesus who died to save people. This same Jesus is going to come back. He hasn't changed. He won't come back as a totally different person. So the apostles return to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is a Sabbath day's journey, which is maybe, say, 1 kilometer. Not very far. They entered Jerusalem and went to the upper room where they were staying. There were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They gathered together to pray, together with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So his brothers didn't believe in him to start with, but now they did. And it's great to read that Mary, his mother, was there. Poor woman, also difficult for her. She was still a believer. Soon afterwards, the number of believers gathered together was about 120. And Peter stood up and said, "My brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, in which the Holy Spirit, speaking through David, spoke of Judas, who was the guide to those who arrested Jesus. Judas was one of us, and he had a part in our ministry." So he talks about the Psalms written by David, and he says this was the Holy Spirit speaking through David. So when you read the words of David, they are the words of David and the songs that he wrote, but this is the Holy Spirit speaking through David. So the words that you read in the Bible are written by the Holy Spirit through men. And that's why the Bible is inspired or inspirited. It's not just like reading any other book. And then he says, "With the money that Judas got for his evil act, he bought a field where he fell to his death. His stomach burst open and all his bowels spilt out."
So, what are in your bowels?
The inside of you. So all he could get for his money was a field. Not a great palace, but just a field. And actually we know that it was the potter's field. So it was muddy and not particularly a great place. And he betrayed Jesus just for a bit of money, and all he could buy with it was a pretty poor field. And this just shows what people will do for love of money. All the people living in Jerusalem knew about this. And in their language, it is called a kaldamar, which means the field of blood. It is written in the book of Psalms, "May where he lives become desolate. May nobody live there." And again, it is written, "May another person take his part in the ministry." So then, Peter says, one of us must become a witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. One who was in our company during the whole time that Jesus went around amongst us, beginning from the time that John baptized until the day that Jesus was taken up from us into heaven. Two men were suggested, Joseph, who was called Barsabbas, also called Justus, and Matthias. They prayed, "Lord, you know the hearts of everyone. So therefore reveal which of these two men you desire to serve to reap in the place of Judas, to replace him." And so they drew lots, and they chose Matthias, and he was added to the group of 11 apostles. But we wonder whether they did the right thing there, because Matthias is never mentioned again. And the person who appears to have replaced Judas in reality was, of course, the Apostle Paul. So we do wonder whether this was the right thing to do, because they only gave God, as it were, two choices. There were two men, and they said, "God, choose one of these," and they drew lots. It's like taking a coin and flipping it in the air and saying, if it lands on this side, it means we should do that, and if it lands on the other side, it means we should do that. Well, I'm not sure that that's quite how we should make our decisions.